Think about a hospital generator. It sits idle most of the time. Not because it's a bad investment, but because the cost of being unprepared is catastrophic. It's pure insurance. It has one job, and that job is to wait. Now imagine that generator also had to earn a profit every single day that it wasn't needed. Suddenly, the whole logic changes. That's the situation grid-scale batteries are in. They need to be ready when the grid is stressed, but they also need to be trading cleverly around the clock to make the economics work. Those two jobs pull in different directions, and working out how to do both, profitably, at scale, across a fast-changing market, it's harder than it looks. Australia has moved faster than almost anywhere in the world on large-scale batteries. What started as an experiment in South Australia in 2017 has grown into one of the most competitive storage markets on the planet. And that success has created a new problem. More batteries chasing the same opportunities with margins getting thinner every year. Our guest today has been on the inside of this transition as it happens. Jeremy Avant leads the energy management team at Neoen in Australia, one of the country's largest renewable energy companies, with wind, solar, and battery assets on both the east and west coasts. His team's job is to make sure those assets perform every day in markets that never sit still. This episode isn't about whether batteries are good for the energy transition. It's about what happens to the business case when everyone else has the same idea. Welcome back to Transmission. Let's jump in. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to the Transmission Podcast.
Hi, Wendell. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. I think we've got a lot to talk about. Very briefly, could you just introduce yourself for our listeners and also maybe what Neoen do?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Jeremy Yvon. I'm leading the energy management team here in Australia for Neoen. So I'm originally from France, so maybe you will notice an accent. Very subtle. But yeah, I've been working in Australia for the past 3 years. And before that, I've developed my career for more than 10 years, mostly in European electricity markets. So Neoen in Australia. So we are one of the largest renewable energy companies here in Australia. As we speak, we have 4 gigawatts of assets, either in operations or under construction. We do 3 technologies. Wind, solar, and battery storage. And we have a portfolio that is balanced across those 3 technologies. And then we have a business model. Basically, we develop the assets, we build them, and then we operate them as well for the long term. In terms of activity in Australia, we operate both in the national electricity market, so on the East Coast, and in the wholesale electricity market, which is in Western Australia, on the west side of the country. And when it comes to my role, so as a head of energy management, so I get to lead a team of in-house experts, really like extremely smart and passionate people with different type of backgrounds. So market analysts, quantitative engineers, software engineers. And basically what we do is we analyze the market, we analyze the dynamics in the revenues, we identify ways in which Neoen can maximize the value of its portfolio now, like in the market today, but also in the future for assets that are under assessment for future investments, and all that while managing our risks. And eventually, we also build the tools in-house that will help us capture that value in the market.
Awesome. And I mean, yeah, you mentioned it in there. And it's actually one of the things I really wanted to focus on is you're kind of in a unique position as, like, I guess the only operator of battery energy storage in both the NEM and the WEM. And so I kind of just wanted to start with that. I mean, where would you see, if we were to look at the role that battery energy storage is playing in both markets today, like, where do you see that and how would you compare it across those two markets?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, I think there is a bit 2 part in that question. And the state of the market, that's an interesting one. I think, as well from my perspective with that international, I mean, the European experience. I mean, I think one of the first things that is important to note is that clearly Australia is one of the most mature markets in the world when it comes to grid scale batteries. I mean, clearly in Australia, batteries went from proof of concept, experimental assets at the very beginning to now to clearly core pieces of the of the system. So, and it's quite interesting to understand how this happened. I think it's interesting to look at that under with our lens, with Neoen lens, given our experience, and also because we have been there from the very beginning of that battery adventure in Australia. I mean, and we are very proud that we contributed to that, not alone, alongside many other players in the industry. But yeah, I mean, I think in terms of journey, if we want to kind of recap roughly what happened, so it started with a kind of, as I said, a proof of concept back in 2017, Onsdale Power Reserve.
A pretty big proof of concept for, yeah, for the time.
Exactly. So at the time, the largest, the first big battery in the world that we built in South Australia with Tesla and the South Australia government. So that was really a proof of concept demonstrating that battery could be built quickly first, but also like bring value, bring flexibility, bring deliver like stability services to the grid, and all that while providing cost savings to the system as well. So that was a quite an important demonstration. I think once you have a proof of concept, a prototype, you need to demonstrate that you can scale on it. And basically for batteries, I think the idea was to demonstrate that they were able to also provide security services, which is quite important. If you want to have an asset that is growing in a system, you must demonstrate that the system is perfectly able to keep the system stable and deliver, well, basically all type of services the system may need. And again, it started with Onsdale. I think in 2019, we introduced the concept of system integrity protection schemes, which is basically an insurance. So it's essentially you reserve a part of your battery in megawatt and in megawatt hour. And that fraction is reserved at all time for the benefits of the market operator, which may use it at times when the grid is in specific conditions and needs support. So that's something we demonstrated with Onsdale. And the other thing I think that was quite fundamental as well in the way the NEM, the National Electricity Market in Australia, thinks about grid security and system strength is the demonstration of synthetic inertia capability, still by Onsdale, like with the introduction of the implementation of a different technology of inverters, so what we call like grid-forming inverters. But this is quite important because basically inertia is a service that is key for the system stability and that traditionally was only provided by thermal generators, basically spinning machines. And we demonstrated that with the proper inverter technology, the proper electronics technologies, batteries are able to replicate that service. So that was quite important. And then I think we are in the state of the market as of today, which is clearly a state of scale and integration. Scale, clearly we are seeing more and more projects coming online, bigger and bigger projects in terms of megawatt, longer and longer durations as well. I mean, Onsdale started as a 1 hour battery. System quickly moved to 2 hours as of today. I think we can, 4 hours is a standard investment case now, but we start to see 6 hour battery, 8 hour battery, 10 hour battery in the pipeline. So yeah, clearly scaling there. And integration also because on that side, more like I would say a commercial integration. I mean, we see battery in our portfolio, delivering firming services typically to bring to the market renewable baseload contracts. So that's what we did a couple of times already in South Australia, where basically battery are integrated in a larger solution and provide firming services and risk management services so that we can provide supply energy from renewable energy generation around the clock. And another good example as well of commercial integration is like the new generation of structured products around batteries. So with our virtual battery, for example, which again is bringing a range of new contracting options.
For many developers in the market, they'll kind of look at batteries in the NEM maybe, and they'll look at kind of FCAS, so frequency response, and energy trading in the 5-minute spot market. But then, you know, it seems like for Neoen, that's not just how you look at batteries. Kind of how do you, across your fleet of batteries, like how do you decide what the best application is? Has it kind of been based on, I guess, just what has been like ready at the time, what commercial application has been there at the time?
So first, I think, well, you have to build a business case that is aligned with the market you are participating in. And maybe that's the part I missed in the previous question, is actually what are the key differences between the NEM, the National Electricity Market, and the Wholesale Electricity Market in WA. And that's quite important to understand, because basically then the, at least the business case, the approach will slightly differ. So, I mean, if you start with the National Electricity Market, I mean, especially for if we have listeners that are not very familiar with the Australian markets, but the on the East Coast, the National Electricity Market is very much an energy only market. So you have like a very high price, market price cap sitting above $20,000 per megawatt hour. You have a deeply negative price floor at a minus $1,000. You have 5 minute trading granularity with virtually no gate closure time. So that's all those components are creating structural volatility. And batteries, of course, are very well suited to capture that. But it comes as well with some challenges in the way you operate, of course. Volatility also means that your revenues are a bit uncertain, and that's something you have to manage. And it also means that it's a market with a very intense competition. Mm. So it's an everyday battle, an everyday care to generate your revenues. And it also means for operators like to constantly improve their optimization capabilities to be able to continue to perform and capture value. So that's on the NEM side. If you go to Western Australia, the design is different. I mean, the volatility is much lower, because first, the market price cap is basically 20 times lower. So you don't have that volatility that's going to justify a business case by itself. So in Western Australia, what's the key element is really the capacity revenues, capacity market, and that part of revenue will account roughly for 2/3 of the revenue for your battery. So that came in two phases a little bit in Western Australia, because early on, basically, the regulators and the government attracted investors with like a specific type of contracts, very short-term contracts that were designed to address short-term regulability issues. And that's really what opened up the WEM market to batteries and gave to investors as ourselves the confidence to go there. That's how we started the Collie Battery, which is contracted with IEMO. And again, I mean, in terms of scale, which is, I mean, it's a 560 megawatt asset, 4 hour duration. So that's roughly capable to charge or discharge 20% of the average Swiss peak demand just by itself.
Yeah, I was going to say, because so, I mean, it'd be useful probably just to give the context of how big the WEM is in comparison to the NEM. I guess it is a lot smaller market. Yeah. But then we've seen the batteries come in at very, you know, sizes like equal to or even above the batteries that we have operating in the NEM.
Yeah, that's a clear fact, because there were also like with those contracts, the volume needed were quite important. So the solutions to put in front of that were directly large scale batteries. But I mean, even after those contracts, if you look at the market, no, I mean those contracts now the cornerstone is the long term capacity market design that so the reserve capacity mechanism in the WEM, which is more long-term, which is working on every year, setting a price, giving a signal for investment. But that remains the cornerstone and the investment. But I mean, that gives a higher certainty mm-hmm. in your revenues. But at the end of the day, you still have to operate as well your battery in the market on a daily basis, and exactly providing essential services, ancillary services, and energy arbitrage, charging during solar hours, discharging on the peak. And that remains. So you can have different type of contractual structures, but at the end of the day, you still have to operate your battery in the market on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I think something maybe come back to, you kind of mentioned it, was around the kind of contracting, things like virtual tolls. But I guess then in the Western Australia context, the need for that is kind of negated somewhat by this capacity mechanism. Is that right?
So the need for what? Sorry.
So like, I guess long-term offtake contracts. So you would typically just contract, I guess the contract is essentially with the government.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a long-term contract. I mean, capacity, it's an annual cycle. So every year, the system is going to reassess the supply demand in capacity, and that's going to drive the direction, the price in a direction and in another. So it's revenues are a bit more certain, but not locked for a long period of time. And yeah, I mean, I think it's also, but that's the web market is still. Is still relatively new, so he went through a major reform not that far ago. It was in 2023. So yeah, I mean, clearly we are also observing and like for the off-tech market to take off in the WEM, which is something that happened clearly on the East Coast, but not yet in WA, in Western Australia.
If we kind of look back 24 months ago, and think about the realities of, you know, developing, operating batteries then compared to today, you know, what stands out as the key differences?
Well, if you look back at the last year or two, clearly what we clearly notice is a step change in deployment of battery projects in Australia. So maybe just a few figures to get a feeling of that. I mean, I think in 2025, we went above the threshold of 5 gigawatts of battery storage in operations in the national electricity market on the East Coast. And just based on confirmed projects, so basically projects that are either already under commissioning or under construction, we expect that figure to exceed 14 gigawatts by 2028. So that's a huge number. I mean, just to understand the scale, again, if we put that in front of the peak demand, so in the national electricity market, the peak demand is 35 gigawatts. So we are talking about nearly 40% of the peak demand as batteries. So that's obviously massive. I mean, Neoen, we are also working in that direction. Like if we look just the last 6 months, we progressed not far of 700 megawatt of batteries, almost 3 gigawatt hour in the NEM and in the WEM, and we have a strong pipeline of batteries in under development. So obviously, but that step change comes with consequences and impacts, and clearly we see impacts in the prices in the market. If you take, for example, ancillary services used to be the primary source of revenues for a battery. So that's the markets now are completely saturated. FCAS market are completely saturated. And even in the energy market, where the volume are more important compared to the relatively small ancillary services market, even in the energy market, we start to see very clear effects. So if we go to Western Australia, the commissioning of some of the big batteries have a significant impact on the negative prices. So if you compare 24 to 25, you do see much less negative prices in the NEM, and that's partly an effect of the battery. And on the other side as well, on the discharge side, I mean, more batteries means more competition. And batteries are more and more setting the price on the evening peaks. And by setting the price, they are also suppressing the price. So we start to see basically a reduction in the spread, the spread being how the battery makes their value. So that also implication then for the business cases. I think the first business cases is, the first implication is all those fundamentals are changing very quickly. And that means that basically the business cases we build today are radically different from the one we were building just 3 years ago. So that's important. And that's significantly increasing the complexity as well of the business cases. It also significantly increases the complexity of operating batteries. And that's something that it's very important to acknowledge that batteries are very complex objects to operate and to optimize because things are moving constantly, because their competition is intense. You need to constantly improve your trading capabilities. You need to learn constantly from the market. And that requires to have the right structure, the right organization, the right agility with your teams, and to have skilled teams, highly skilled teams that are capable to understand those changes and adapt the business case of your batteries. The other thing that you need to understand is also, we need to understand batteries no runs for 20 years or 25 years. So it's not just a short-term commitment, it's a long-term commitment in terms of agility, in terms of investing in your capabilities to improve your optimization solutions. And that requires to have highly skilled and trained team on the operation side with energy management, but also on the commercial and origination aspects. So that you can extract the knowledge from the market, adapt your solutions to maintain your performances, but also understand how the needs of your customers are going to evolve so that you can keep proposing the right options, the right structures. And that's something at Neoen that we have invested a lot in. So we have an operational control center that has been running for almost a decade now. So that's goldmine, a powerhouse of information, market knowledge, market experiences that my team then is able to absorb and use to design our solutions, improve them, and develop the software solutions that we need to operate the market. And again, also that's knowledge that goes to our commercial and origination team to keep working on the contractual structures we are able to bring to the market to make sure there is this market fit, to make sure that we are proposing something that is going to match the customer needs.
Actually, just on that, I mean, so yeah, because that's one of the things which Neoen, I guess, I don't know when, when it was a few years ago, brought in house was that kind of optimization, auto bidding. Like, what have been the kind of biggest challenges you saw in that kind of bringing in house of that service?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest challenge is that capability to constantly invest in that solution, to constantly invest resources, time, team to understand the market, understand the dynamics, understand how our solution can be improved. It's absolutely the biggest challenge. I mean, with battery optimization, it cannot be a set and forget type of strategy. It's an everyday care. It's every day a battle to understand what are the market conditions and how do I operate my asset to be able to capture the value that the market is offering. And that's a challenge because it's a long-term commitment. It's something you have to do every day for the lifetime of your battery.
And I mean, just to bring it back to what you were just saying about the business case, I mean, if you were to kind of, from your perspective, how would you frame, like, what is the like ideal business case for a battery now? So I guess coming online in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, like, how do you piece that together?
How to frame that? So I think the idea, I mean, if given the uncertainty ahead of us, I think the idea is to have an approach that is balanced and that can be balanced in terms of technologies. So that's the first element from our perspective as Neoen is we don't consider battery as standalone storage. I mean, battery storage is coming as part of a wider portfolio that has also generation. And that's something that is really at the core of our approach. So there is always this aspect of considering a portfolio. And that can translate into commercial opportunities. That's exactly what we achieved with the baseload contracts that we signed with our customer BHP in South Australia. So basically we integrate batteries and wind into a single portfolio to be able to deliver a firm supply. And that firm supply is going to bring additional certainty in our revenues. So that's another example, a first example. The other aspect is also like basically also to have a... So how do you address this merchant risk is also to have basically a contracting approach. I mean, the contracting batteries has also always been at the core of Neoen approach in Australia. So with baseload and firming services that we just discussed, I mean, we have other contracts historically that are other examples, like the short-term contracts we just discussed in Western Australia for grid capacity services. The system integrity protection schemes on HPR. So that's different examples. But also another example of, so that's very important to have that contracting approach. And another tool we have is also like the new generation of virtual batteries that we are able to, that basically are flexible options that are going to meet flexibly like the customer needs. And that's also an asset we are using to back our portfolio.
I mean, so yeah, Neoen, I think, agreed some of the first, maybe the first virtual tolls that we saw in the Australian market, maybe even globally. Like, how does that actually work in practice? And kind of what does it mean for the asset?
In very simple terms, what is a virtual battery? Let's take it very simply. So it's essentially it's a financial product. So it's our customer pays a fixed fee, and for that fixed fee, he has access to a virtual battery, which is replicating a physical battery, but in a very much simple way. So it has the main characteristic of a battery. So it has a SOC, it has a megawatt capacity, a megawatt hour capacity, round trip efficiency, cycling constraints. So that's a simplified battery, but it's virtual, and the customer can charge and discharge his virtual asset. And the virtual dispatch is settled against the real price. And in exchange of the fixed fee the customer is paying, the customer received the floating settlement. So basically the trading value, the virtual trading, the value of the virtual trading he performed. So that's the structure of the product. The interesting bit is that basically it allows the customer to either, can use that to trade itself, like trying to capture the volatility of the market, or use it to hedge its other actions in the market. So that's at the discretion of the customer. That's the concept. And what we provide on top of that is we also developed in-house a software application and an interface that the customer can use to monitor in live its virtual battery at all time and submit either automatically or manually through the interface its dispatch, charge, discharge orders. So that's how it works. And then all that is backed by a physical asset that we operate continuously in the market to support the structure product. The virtual battery is a concept we brought to the market in 2022. That's when we started to market it. And I don't know if we were the absolute first to do that, but clearly the first product in that new generation of derivative structured products around batteries. That's something we are very, very, very proud about. So as of today, we have been able to contract virtual batteries with multiple customers across multiple states, multiple projects. We really think it found its market fit. We are very happy as well to see some existing customers coming back with new interest for additional contracts of that type. So clearly we have multiple signals showing that we found a good market fit with that.
I guess, you've near end. So we need to physically deliver against those profiles in order to kind of back that financial transaction. And I guess one of the things that has been discussed is then also having the flexibility where I guess you could deviate from that. Like in practice, is that something you see happening frequently? Is that something you'd want to do? I don't know. I guess it comes into risk appetite.
Yeah, we are constantly learning as well from those products, but I think a few key messages already. When you start operating with firm product or structured products like that, I think the first thing is, as we discussed, so you have your product, but at the end, you still need to operate your battery in the physical market, in the spot market. And that's true either with a baseload or a virtual battery. And what is key is the operational excellence. So, because with those kind of products, like if you have a price spike in the market, if you just have a battery, that if you miss it, it's a missed opportunity. It's bad, but it's not luck. But it's just a missed opportunity. If you have a firm product on top, it can become a loss, and that's what you need to manage, and that comes with operational excellence as a requirement. So it means having a strong, resilient 24/7 capabilities, constant monitoring of your performances, of your operations, constant monitoring of your software solutions, behaviors, of your trading strategies, adjusting to the market conditions. So that requires to be constantly adapting to the market conditions and to be able to operate very efficiently your asset. The second thing is, and when you deal with derivatives, what is essential is to have very clear risk management frameworks as well. Monitor your risk, measure it, and have mitigation plans, basically, depending on the different scenarios that can happen.
You sort of discussed, I guess, the way that you see battery energy storage is a part of a wider portfolio. I'd be interested to kind of go back onto that point because, I mean, it's quite common that we'd see discussions about batteries, I guess, working alongside solar, that kind of relationship. But then you mentioned the projects which are actually working alongside wind to help kind of provide a firming solution. Like, what are the key differences between those two applications? How different is it from what you can get out of the battery, I guess, firming a wind asset compared to solar?
Do you mean here like firming in a portfolio, wind or solar, or co-locating with, because very often we see batteries being co-located with solar.
Yeah. Well, I guess firstly, I mean, do you actually see the need to like directly co-locate, or can it just be part of a portfolio? Like, how important is the actual co-locating itself?
All those questions at the end, they get back to the same clear market driver that we observe in Australia, and that is fundamental and that's driving a lot of things. It's basically the curtailment of renewable generation, which is a key element here in Australia. So, I mean, in the latest quarterly energy dynamics published by the IEMO, it was like highlighted that the December quarter was the quarter with the highest level of curtailed renewable generation that we ever observe in the name. So clearly, with like percentage that are crazy. Like if you look at solar in grid scale solar in South Australia, it's above 50% in the December quarter of the available generation that was not injected due to curtailment.
And is that like grid curtailment or economic curtailment, both?
It's always a mix of both. What we call grid curtailment is basically generation that you would have liked to inject because the prices were interesting, but you were not able because of grid constraints. And economic curtailment is basically generation you didn't want to inject because it was not at a profitable price. So that's the two buckets. But it's impossible to completely split the two aspects. I mean, they are a bit interconnected because most of the time when there are grid constraints, it's also because you have a lot of solar generation, for example. And when you have a lot of solar generation, usually you have an impact on prices. So it's a bit mixed aspect, but clearly it's a key component. And just saying, I mean, it's not impacting only wind and solar. I mean, batteries are not immune to grid curtailment.
Definitely, yeah.
Neither.
That's something we see. Yeah,
it's something that is very important. And what means all that is that obviously more than ever, location matters. But those assessments are very complex because the grid is a very complex thing with a lot of projects, a lot of uncertainty as well around the transmission augmentation and everything around the pipeline of competition. So that's a very difficult assessment, but that's quite key to look at that. Location matters to understand your risk, but also to understand what type of contract structure you can apply on your asset. That's also very important to understand. But yeah, I mean, indeed, batteries are also like very efficient hedge against those curtailments. I mean, so if you take the angle of the co-location with solar, so here, I mean, basically the battery is going to act as a physical hedge. So you are on site, you are going to have a bit of synergies because you will be able to put in common some equipment. So that's probably going to improve a little bit the picture on the cost side of your investment. And yeah, basically you will be able to charge energy that otherwise would have been spilled, and to discharge that energy either when the grid constraints have lifted or when the prices are higher. So that's the first option, but that's not the only one, because the economic curtailment, you are still facing that aspect. And that's where I think the other approach of having a portfolio approach, an integration, where basically because you mix different technologies, because you mix generation sources that are either anti-correlated or because the batteries are providing firming services that are very much complementary to your portfolio, then you're able to firm your supply, which is basically eventually decorrelating your revenues from the actual megawatt hour you are going to generate. And that's a very efficient edge against the risk of negative prices and increased economic curtailment. And that's very much an approach that we have been taking here in Australia, again, with our different base load contracts that we signed and started to deliver in South Australia.
yeah, on the contracts that you're able to provide for these assets, I think there's been a couple announced basically supporting like mining operations in South Australia. Like, what are those contracts? And yeah, I guess what's the role the battery really is doing there?
Yeah, so the first one actually started on July 1st last year. So that's a 70 megawatt baseload contract that is delivered by two assets. So first, the Goyder South wind farm in South Australia, combined with the Blyth battery as well in South Australia. So that's the first one. This one is running live already. And we recently announced as well the finalization of a second contract with our customer BHP for this time an amount of a volume of 100 megawatt baseload supply. So, and that this one will start in a few years. At the moment, we continue to work to progress the projects that will support that contract toward the different stages of development and bring them to the market in a few years.
Awesome. And is the idea then those contracts are delivering like 100% renewable energy to like those operations?
Yeah, exactly. So that's 100% renewable supply contracts. All the contract volume is also combined with delivery of LGCs to the benefits of our customer.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of like, yeah, one of the more unique applications we've seen like to date, because you kind of mentioned, we were discussing the different contracts. And I think to date, that's the only operational firm PPA kind of contract we have, I think, in the NEM. That I know of anyway.
That's a good question. At least it's clearly the only one we have in our portfolio as of today.
I think going back, I mean, we recently saw actually just like last week, we're recording this in the beginning of February, just last week we saw results of the recent Altesa tender announced. In that you received a tender for what is a very, very big long duration battery. I mean, what is the role you see in that kind of idealized business case, I guess, of these kind of government support schemes? So I guess there's the capacity investment scheme, but in this case, New South Wales is Altesa.
Clearly, recently, over the last year, we saw multiple forms of governmental underwritings to support the transition, support generation, but also support firming capacity. And battery storage. So that's something that obviously is supporting the industry and supporting the amount of investment that is required to be successful in this energy transition in Australia. So indeed, as you noticed, we got awarded last week our Great Western battery in the New South Wales Altesa tender. So we are very proud that the quality of this project has convinced the New South Wales government to award us an Altesa contract. And I mean, in the very short term, I mean, we are continue to work hard on the development steps for that project to bring it forward and go to the next step of the development. And yes, I mean, looking forward to the next step. Stay tuned. Well,
and I mean, I think, yeah, the key headlines, I guess, are focused on the duration of those assets. So like, what actually is that for the Great Western Battery, and how then, what's like, yeah, different in the development pipeline of that?
I think the key role, I mean, indeed, we are seeing there is a trend of longer and longer duration batteries connecting. I mean, not connecting yet, but at least being awarded, entering construction, and that's the case on both sides as well. Again, of Australia, that's something we are observing on the East Coast, and something also we are seeing in Western Australia, with progressively the capacity market that is requesting longer and longer durations, and then the battery adapts to that, so we build longer duration. I think the interesting part is that longer duration are required by the system to achieve that energy transition. But the market as of today, I mean, the market itself is not yet sending the price signals that are necessary to justify those durations. So that's where really those underwritings are playing a key role, because that's the level of support that is required to give the investors the confidence needed to invest in those amount of in those durations, which, I mean, as at least in the market as it is today, does not naturally, does not support by itself the project.
Okay. And yeah, and anything about those longer durations, I mean, because I know, yeah, so in WA there's a 6-hour battery, and then Great Western, I guess, is up to maybe like 10 hours. Yeah. Like, how does that, is it just a case of, yeah, just putting in more energy capacity, or kind of, is there any practical like differences for your like development team to think about?
I think in terms of practical terms, what it means for the team is to keep the flexibility. It's something that we observe, we are observing on the project. Keeping that flexibility to adjust the duration of the battery is quite important, because those opportunities like the LTESA, the change in the rule changes in the capacity market in Western Australia, sometimes you have very little bit of, you don't have a lot of time to adjust and to be able to build something that is going to match the requirements, what is expected, either in the tender or either by the market. And keeping that flexibility at the development level is clearly something that is very important today. With having that flexibility to quickly change the duration, that's clearly a key element to be able to, as soon as we get a contract, an award, some certainty that we have the right design, to be able immediately to go to the next step and start basically the construction. So that's exactly, I think, what happened with our Mushe project in Western Australia. So that's going to be the first 6-hour battery in our portfolio. And because we had that flexibility around design, we were like able to be very reactive after the CIS awards, that the CIS tenders that awarded a contract to Mushe, to be able to have after we had like the right level of understanding of what's going to be the duration requirement in the WEM, because that's an information that got published by the IEMO that was published by the IEMO approximately at the same time. So with all that, once we have all that information in our hands, we are able to quickly take your decisions and move to the next step for a project. And that's, yeah, being able to be reactive.
Awesome. I guess, yeah, the final thing I actually wanted to kind of touch on is, you mentioned the kind of role of like grid forming, like Hornsdale providing these sort of inertia, virtual inertia services, or synthetic inertia. I don't know what the best term would be. Do you yet see like those kind of any sort of contracts or provision of those services having a kind of solid role in the business case today? Is that something you think will come in the future? I don't know, I'm just interested to hear how you think, you know, what kind of role batteries are actually going to play on that system strength side of things.
I think the way we see it at Neoen is that basically batteries, so they used to demonstrate their grid services capabilities with a project, and then other projects we are more like trading more on energy arbitrage, more merchant type of business case. I think the way where the things are moving forward is that basically we can't make a distinction anymore. I mean, what matters is that batteries are completely integrated assets that are capable to provide everything the system needs. So it's more like backbone assets, literally. You really need those assets to be able, on one side, to keep flexible operations, to react to market signals, but at the same time as well, to provide grid security services. The changes we see is that, I mean, grid security services, those type of services used to be either a demonstration or a side benefit. The way we approach that is that now it must be at the core of the design of the project from the very beginning. That's something that, all our batteries, all the services, all the batteries should be able to provide them. So, for example, indeed, you mentioned the synthetic inertia and the grid forming inverters technology that we started to demonstrate with the Hornsdale project some years ago. But that's something we are now rolling out on our portfolio, and very lately with the Western Downs batteries in Queensland that also have that capability. So the idea is really to see batteries as an integrated asset, and all those grid security services, all the technologies behind it for this ability to deliver that must be taken as a primary input in the design of your solution, in the design of your project.
And is that kind of exactly the same, both in when you think about projects in NEM and Western Australia?
Yes.
The same approach?
Same approach. I mean, in Australia, exactly, I think the same approach. We are pursuing the same goals. If you go to Western Australia, I mean, batteries are already playing a key role there. And it's clearly already a very central asset. I mean, a very good example, I think, is currently the reference technology in the capacity market in WA is a 6-hour battery storage. So what it means is that currently a battery is the most cost-effective technology to provide the flexible and the peak, the flexible capacity and the peak capacity that the system needs. So that's clearly, batteries are in the core of the system. Other examples, batteries are already providing a vast majority of the essential services, so the ancillary services. And we are also working to continue expanding the range of services that battery can provide in WA. We note that at the moment there is the WA government is leading a review of the essential system services frameworks. And as part of that, we advocate here at Neoen for batteries to have a larger consideration for the ability for batteries to provide rate of change of frequency services. So which is kind of it's inertia-like type of services. So that's something today is not open to batteries, and that's something that's a discussion we are trying to push. Because I mean, the good thing in Western Australia is that the regulation is quite dynamic. I mean, changes are introduced relatively frequently, and basically regulation is flexible. So obviously, at times it can be a little bit challenging, but it's also an opportunity because it means also that the system, the regulation, can quickly adapt when there is good technologies that can be incorporated in the system.
Yeah, I mean the benchmark capacity reserve price change is actually really interesting. I mean, is it right? So yeah, before last year, it was always based on, I guess, gas generation asset, and so I guess that switch reflects the fact that batteries are now the most cost effective option of providing that service ahead of gas.
Yeah, exactly. So that change happened. I don't remember again. Maybe 2 years ago. It used to be an open cycle gas turbine, and then it moved to a 4-hour battery. And for the next, it's a 6-hour battery.
Awesome. Well, we can kind of move towards wrapping up there. I mean, we've got two questions left. So, firstly, is there anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, I think I'll go back to my team, maybe, and more globally, like people. So over the last 3 years, we have built here at Neoen Australia and grown a great team of passionate, very skilled, talented people with different backgrounds. And I think that's really important also because the energy transition is clearly a very complex challenge that we have to address. And the more we progress, the more complex this challenge is becoming, because being successful in the transition is no longer just about constructing assets and bringing them to the system. More and more challenges arise on the operation side. So how do you operate them? How do you optimize them? How do you integrate them into the system? And that's really a highly complex environment, and that's going to continue. In that trend is going to continue. It's going to be more and more complex. So I think more broadly, what I'd like to say is that I would really encourage young engineers, young data scientists, young software engineers to consider entering the energy industry, because we will really need brains to navigate successfully through that energy transition.
I mean, 100%. That's something we would agree with and support. I think, there's always going to be a growing role for kind of talented people coming into the energy sector. And finally, I guess, what is your contrarian view, Jeremy?
All right, let's try this. So we discussed previously like that the competition is becoming intense, market conditions become complex because with the addition of batteries. I think my contrarian view is that the risk of battery oversupply is real. I'm not saying that there will be too much battery for the system, but there is scenarios where there is an oversupply of battery in the market. So the market is not exactly the needs of the market is not are not exactly the needs of the system. And yeah, I mean the question is not really whether when it will happen, because I mean we are in an industry that is facing a lot of uncertainties. I mean we are working with fundamentals with a lot of uncertainty. So demand, penetration of EVs, penetration of data centers. There is a lot of things that are going to define if that's going to happen or not. I think my view is that the risk is credible. There is credible scenarios where you would have an oversupply of battery in the market. Alors not forever, not permanently, but punctually and possibly repeatedly. And then the key question, if you consider that that is a possible scenario or a scenario that is worth being considered, the key question is, as a battery owner, as a battery operator, are you prepared for this? Do you have the right portfolio? Do you have the right structure to navigate through those cycles? And I think that's where our approach at Neoen with an integrated approach, with a diversified portfolio really matters and is really critical. Because a battery within a portfolio will be able to navigate through those cycles. But if you have a battery that is on a standalone asset, on a single kind of business model, it's possible that that the battery will struggle.
Yeah, I mean, I think we would definitely agree with like that chance of risk. I mean, it's something we just need to look at like ERCOT right now. And you can kind of see that wave of battery investment, how it suppressed the market. But yeah, clearly, like the uncertainties on the demand side are enormous, which just makes life challenging for you to deal with. And yeah, we'll leave it there. So yeah, thanks a lot, Jeremy. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks again. It was a real pleasure.